All right. So today's message I've entitled Christian Traits. Another title would be The Righteous Acts of a Righteous Person. So two things that we want to see from this passage. Do and don't. Okay. Do or do not. There is no time. Okay. And so when it comes to the Christian faith, okay, especially in comparison to other world religions, okay, what we often hear or even taught to say is that the Christian faith is not about rules and regulations and do's and don'ts, but it's about relationship. Yeah. Okay. I promise you, it might work in high school, I'm not sure. It will not work on a college campus. If you go to a college campus and a person comes up to you, especially a Orthodox Jew or a practicing Muslim comes up to you and says, what's the big difference between the Christian faith and Islam or, or Judaism in terms of rules and regulations? If you say, Christian faith is not about rules, it's about relationship, they're going to just laugh at you, okay? You will lose any kind of credibility that you might have before you continue in your conversation. And the reason is because, and this is especially for you older guys, your non-Christian friends, or non-church-going friends, will sometimes know more about the Bible than people in this room. And I've had such friends in high school and college. Mostly in high school. Okay. And if you meet those people and you say to them, the Christian faith is not about rules and regulations, they're going to be like, well, what about Leviticus? Leviticus is filled with law and stuff. And you're like, well, that's the Old Testament. They're like, yeah, but Christians believe in the entire Bible, right? Old Testament and New Testament. And then you're like, yeah. You know, so then you're stuck. You're like, oh, shoot. Okay? And so I'm going to be bold and maybe be like the first person to tell you, guess what? The Christian faith does have rules and regulations. It does tell you what to do and what not to do. Okay? And this is kind of hard for me to say that because I've been one of those people that say, hey, yeah, the Christian faith is about relationship, it's not about rules and regulation. Okay, in a certain way it is, that's very, very true. But at the same time, it doesn't take away from the fact that the Christian faith does have rules and regulations. All right. Now, check this out though. The rules and regulations from the Christian faith, okay, they're never bad. Like, you're never going to go to jail for doing something the Bible tells you to do. For example, the Bible says, don't kill people. That's a pretty good idea, okay? No one's ever gone to jail because he didn't kill people, okay? The Bible tells you, hey, you should be generous, okay? If you share your stuff with other people, you're not going to go to jail, right? Like, the Philadelphia team, we're going to go to Philly, and we're going to share time, right, and energy with people that we don't know. And they're going to have various different needs. One thing we're not worried about is going to Philly and maybe even like giving out food to homeless people. And then as soon as you give a sandwich to a homeless person, you don't expect a cop to come and lock you up. Like, hey, what are you doing? You can't be generous. Right? And so that's the funny thing. Right? And so in that hypothetical conversation with a non-Christian about the Christian faith in terms of what the Christian faith tells you to do and not to do, you could kind of make that argument. So yeah, the Christian faith does have rules and regulations, but guess what? Let's look at some of these rules that the Christian faith talks about. Let's see. Don't kill. That's a pretty good idea. Okay? There's no other there's no country in the world where you're going to go and it'll be like, it'll have a rule. You must kill somebody. That's weird. That's absurd. Okay? And so no country will ever put you in jail for not killing somebody. Right? No country in the world will ever put you in jail for being generous and sharing your stuff. Okay? And so that's one obvious thing to notice and discuss. Okay? The Christian faith does, the Bible does have a list of do's and don'ts. I'm sorry to tell you that, but it does. Okay. However, the list of things that the Bible tells you to do are all good things. Okay. And for our time here today, it's harmonious. Okay. Sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit. Okay. Harmonious. Took a little bit of time to break down these words. Harmonious. It's a little bit like unity. Okay? A little bit like unity. Some of you guys know, not all of you, but some of you guys know that I'm a big fan of military movies and shows. One of my favorite movies is Band of Brothers. Okay? If you're a real man and you love Jesus, you will watch Band of Brothers. It's on something in the internet. Okay? It's going to be out there. Alright? Anyway, Band of Brothers. Alright? No, you don't have to. Anyway, Band of Brothers is pretty good. But one thing that for those of you guys who don't know, especially you ladies, Peggy tells me I have zero interest in watching this. It follows the 101st Airborne Division during World War II. Okay, and the crazy stuff that they had to go through from training camp to D-Day to invasion of Europe, and then actually like the battles that they fight. All the way to VE Day, May 2nd, 1945. Okay, Victory in Europe Day. Okay, and they go through all these things. And the second episode is the episode where they actually do D-Day invasion. And these 101st and 56th Airborne Division, okay, they were brand new for World War II. Okay, they were the new paratrooper group. And what... And it's funny because if you watch the document, I have the whole set. I actually bought the set. If you watch the behind the scenes special, they actually have the guys that the series is based off of, the real people in the group. And they'll all tell you, they're like, straight up, I joined because they gave me more money to be a paratrooper than to be a regular army guy. They had no idea what paratrooper meant. What paratrooper basically means is they put you on an airplane and they fly you behind enemy lines and then they drop you out of an airplane. In the dark, and you're getting shot at. Not with regular bullets. Regular bullets are like this big, okay? The stuff that Nazis were shooting at them were like this big, like elephant guns, okay? Because they were not designed for you. They were designed for the plane, okay? And so it was light, and this is like before like radar and stuff like that. And so what you see in the second episode is they're jumping, like hours, like few hours before the actual D-Day invasion, and they have no radar. Like, Germans, like, trying to shoot down these planes because they're like, oh, shoot, they're coming over. They're like, ah, right? And so the planes are getting shot up, going down, and it's chaos. And so they're like, so these guys are just jumping way off their regular landing zones. They all were assigned certain zones that they were supposed to land. And what happens in the middle of that chaos is all these units, some units just get destroyed completely. Like their plane goes down and no one knows what happens because they have no cell phones. Radio is still very like ghetto, like they're still like getting used to it. And also because they don't know that if they use a radio, the Germans aren't listening, you know? So they have radio silence. And so they got no communication, they're totally in the dark. They have nothing. They're literally going by like, they had to memorize the map that they were shown before they left England. And they're going by what the map would have told them, okay? And what happens is, in all that craziness, these units form, but these units are made up of different guys from different units, right? For example, like, the show will specifically follow Easy Company, okay? A company is just a smaller group of a battalion, the way the army is set up, okay? And so it goes from A to, I forgot what it was. A is able, B is something, okay, E, okay, in the middle. Easy Company, right? And so these guys land in Europe, in France, They have no idea where they are. They don't know where their officer, commanding officer is. And so they're like, what should we do? So like, I don't know. And so they're like, okay, we shouldn't get killed. That's a pretty good idea. Okay. And then number two, we should start moving and start trying to find some landmarks and trying to figure out where we're supposed to go. And their assumption is that if they do that, then other guys from their unit will eventually meet up. And that's what happens. They're going in the dark, and then people from Easy Company meet up with people from D Company, from A Company, one or two guys from this company and that company, and they all come together and become one unit. You know? And then they get together, and at the end of that episode, there's actually, I'm just giving away spoilers in case, you know, I'm just assuming you're not going to watch it. At the end of the episode, there's actually a defensive, German defensive thing, okay? And they have to, and their a commanding officer, a guy high up, tells them to go destroy it because they're shooting like bombs and like huge things to onto D-Day beach, the Normandy beach. Okay, so these guys go, and it's a patch, it's a group that's made up of different companies, and it's one unit. And the coolest thing is they all have the same hand signal, so they all know. So they, you go, they sneak up behind this defensive, this setup that Germans have, and they use hand signals, and then they spread out, and then they take it, and they destroy the guns that the Germans are using. How is that possible? People from totally different companies came together as one unit, and they got it done. That only happens because of harmony. Meaning, harmony doesn't mean that everyone's always on the same page in terms of like everyone likes the same thing and blah blah blah. No, it doesn't mean that. Because this company, if you looked at it, there's people from Brooklyn, people from here and there, and all these different type of people, different type of experiences, right? But they all get together, and they all have one focus, one goal. They don't ever lose their identity. They don't ever lose their individuality. They have focus on one goal. That's what harmony means. And I could have easily made this into a specific message about Philly team, and I'm going to be honest, that was a really big temptation for me. But you know what? This is a message for everybody here. We, as a family, we need to be harmonious in terms of be clear about what our goal is. Okay? And that doesn't mean that we all have to always agree 100% with what we're saying. Be that as it may, we still need to know what our goal is and get there together and make that happen together. If there was one thing I want to say to Philly team at this time, if we are not harmonious, if we are not united in Philly, we're going to fail. There might be small victories here and there, but we're not going to be able to achieve the kind of stuff that God wants us to do. In the same way for our church, for us, everybody, we're not going to be able to do the things that we would if we are fractured and we are not united. Okay. And so, what is our goal? Our goal is simply this: to love Jesus and make Him known. That is it. Very simple. Love Jesus, make Him known. Love Jesus, make Him known. That's it. That's our goal. Okay. Sympathetic. Sympathy. The historians tell me that in the Greco-Roman world, things like sympathy or humility, or another way the Bible describes humility is meekness, was looked down upon as something. Basically, they'll be like, you're a pansy. If you're sympathetic or you're humble, then you're a pansy. That's not good. Okay. The Bible says no. It is a very, very good thing. Okay. They're very similar, but a little bit different. Sympathy simply means you understand, or you try to understand the other person's feelings or perspectives in that scenario. As a church, we definitely need to have this, definitely with each other, but especially with newcomers. This is why I have a special love for newcomers and people who greet newcomers, the greeting. Guys, we can't just put the greeting responsibility on Joseph. We got to do it all together. And the only way we can really greet well is if we're sympathetic. for some of you, maybe that for some of you guys who've been at this church for your entire lives, maybe you won't really know what it feels like to be the new guy at church. I've been that new guy many times at church, and it sucks. There've been many times where growing up, I would go to a church as a visitor or with a friend or whatever, and I wouldn't want to be there. I would want to leave within 15 minutes. Never wanted to go back, ever. The churches that I did want to go back, it was because I felt welcome. You know? Sympathy. They knew where I was coming from. They could speak my language. They liked the stuff that I liked. Sympathy. Okay? Humility. Humility, the best way to say humility is the way Paul said it, which is this. You're not as good as you think you are. Okay? You're not as good as you think you are, and people love them as Jesus loved you. That's humility. Okay? Don't, the way Paul said it is, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Okay? So my translation is, you ain't as good as you think you are. Okay? Brotherly. I don't think I need to really talk about that, but brotherly love. It warms my heart to see Brother Elliot trying really hard to show brotherly love to Brandon, and but especially Nathan. You know? Yeah. And also all the younger guys are actually. For you guys, if you're like, oh yeah, he is actually like being nice to me and not being mean and punching me and stuff, okay? To you guys, I say you're welcome, okay? Anyway, but Elliot is learning how to, learning the idea of brotherly love. Another person who I think does that very well in our church is Sung, okay? Sung is big brother Sung, right? And especially with Philly trip coming up, I am reminded of Sung last year in D.C., I'm pretty sure if Sung didn't go, then either Jay or Brandon would not have made it alive back home, okay? But Sung was there to make sure, like, hey, don't say stuff, like, stupid when you step outside of this building, because they're going to kill you, okay? Be careful what you do, okay? Because you're going to die, all right? So big brother, right? Big brother, you know what big brother does? They watch out. They watch your back, even when you don't know it. Even when you don't know it. And so for you, especially for you younger guys, you're like, oh, I don't know if like Elliot really cares about me or even knows my name. A lot of the love that he might have for you, that he might show, you won't notice it a lot of times. Okay? And then kind-hearted. Just kind-hearted. I think we've all met people who are just kind. Kind. And we don't really need to be super Christians to be kind. And, you know, I've met non-Christians who are super kind. But I think for Christians, we need to be especially kind to one another, to other people. That will be your greatest testimony, greatest weapon. Anyway, with all that said, there are things that God tells us as Christians to do. There are also things that God tells us to not do. Okay? So, here's the thing. All the stuff the Bible tells us to do, they're all good. All the stuff the Bible tells us not to do, they're all bad. Right? Going back to the same example, the Bible tells us, hey, you shouldn't steal. That's a pretty good idea. Okay? If you steal and you get caught, you will go to jail. Okay? You shouldn't kill people. That's a pretty good idea. Okay? If you kill people, you will go to jail. Okay? And here's the thing, kind of tying it up together, because Peter says this in verse 9, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose, we were called for this very purpose that we might inherit a blessing. Okay, check this out. What does that all that mean? Simply put, is this. Jesus, right? Jesus called himself the fountain of living water, John chapter 4, okay? What that mean? Do you know what a fountain is? You guys ever seen a fountain? Here's like the best example we have is like Reston Town Center, right, where they have like they turn on the water thing in the summer. One thing I know about water fountains, right, is unlimited water, like unlimited quantity. You're never gonna go to a water fountain and be like, oh, like for example, another example is like Niagara Falls, for those of you who've been or seen pictures. If you go to Niagara Falls and you're looking at it, one thing, as you're looking, you're like, oh, this is crazy, this is awesome. One thing you're not expecting is all of a sudden the Niagara Falls, like, stops. What the? That'd be kind of bad, right? You'd be like, what? Okay. If the Niagara Falls stops all of a sudden when you're there, Jesus is coming back, okay? Just start praying, okay? okay, all that just to say this. In Christ, okay, we have all the spiritual blessings. That is a promise of God. In Christ, we have all the spiritual blessings. And what that means is this. We are able to, in the face of opposition and persecution and hateration, okay, we're still able to take that and return it with love and kindness and all these things, because in Christ, we have these things in abundance. Right? You look at it at verse 8, harmony, sympathy, brotherly love, kind-heartedness, and humility. We have those things in abundance in Christ. And when I say abundance, I mean like overflowing abundance. Okay? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it came back again. It was said last week, it came back again. Right, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, how great the love the Father has lavished upon us. You know what lavish means when you hear the word lavish? Literally just think of a bucket, right? And just someone just pouring it out on you. Lavish. Okay? Once I get ordained, hopefully, Lord willing, sometime soon, that's how we're going to baptize people. We have to put in a drain system in our sanctuary, okay? Because that's how we're going to baptize. We're going to, I'm not even going to sprinkle. I'm bucketing you, okay? We should make shirts. I got bucketed at Risen Sun. Okay. But you know, I just want to show, right? In Christ, we have an abundance of spiritual blessings. So we are. That's why we're able to go and do these things. We're able to respond in kindness because in Christ we have these things overflowing. We have these things overflowing, and we have to understand that. And so in closing, let me tell you, remind you, this is not just for the Philippines, this is for everybody. This is the reality for all of us. For those who trust in Christ, this is what we have. This is our spiritual reality. Right? And so we are not made righteous because we do these things. No, but because God has declared us righteous, therefore we do these things. Right? And when God declared us righteous, He gave us the ability and the power and the desire to do these things. And so in Christ we have an overflow of love, overflow of harmony, sympathy, brotherly kindness, and humility. That's how we were able to respond. Let's pray.